You're listening to The Big Cast, your source for the latest in financial technology. Brought to you weekly by the Best Innovation Group, with your hosts, John Best and Glenn Cervati.
Welcome to another edition of The Big Cast. My name is Glenn Cervati on behalf of the Best Innovation Group, where we'd like to do cool things with financial technology. With a focus on how it applies to the credit union world, you'll find new content from us here every Tuesday, almost every Tuesday. We'll get back to that in a second on The Big Cast. You can find us wherever you pick up your podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify, etc., or directly at the Best Innovation Group website, big-fintech.com. We have a conversation this week with Jim Ryan from the Circle Collective. Circle, we've spoken with them before. They're in their strategic investment fund working with credit union service providers, the CUSOs as we call them. They recently passed the $100 million mark in terms of investments into those CUSO companies. And there's more where that came from. And then we're just going to get a catch up with Jim on exactly where they stand on that, particularly around a new portal that expands the universe even further beyond their direct portfolio of investors and companies. So some interesting stuff going on there we'll be talking about. First off, let me just mention the Best Innovation Group. This is probably not going to come to much of a surprise to anybody who follows along with us relatively closely, whether here on the Big Cast or on the town hall meetings that take place toward the end of every month on a Wednesday afternoon. One of those coming up, by the way, just in a couple of days on May 24th. So if you're listening to this just as we post it, you still got time to register for your spot. No fee to attend. Just need to let us know in advance that you're coming. And if it's after May 24th when you listen to this, you can still go out to the town hall website, cutownhall.com, and listen to a replay. But as I say, we've been doing a lot of work around AI and discussions of that, particularly ChatGPT. We had a great episode just last week about some of the perils of ChatGPT at the same time as some of the great use cases that are out there already. But as I say, it probably, with all that backdrop, doesn't come as much of a surprise that the Best Innovation Group is now launching an offering around artificial intelligence and how it can apply to the credit union world. I will not go into too much detail on that. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to come on it. But I do encourage you to check out the Best Innovation Group website, and there will be a new landing page under products. So big-fintech.com, go to the product drop-down tab. You'll see artificial intelligence listed. Probably some information, but also just put your name down for more to be contacted with more as it is made available. So I think that's going to be really interesting stuff to follow along with. A couple of weeks ago, I had the honor of moderating a panel at an executive roundtable for the National Cooperative Business Association, the NCBA, in Washington, D.C., talking about the basic idea of the roundtable overall was really funding and finding opportunities to innovate in the cooperative world, how to fund innovation in the cooperative world, and more broadly, how the different parts of the cooperative movement can work together more closely toward their common goals. Obviously, I spend most of my time in the credit union space, which is only one of many branches of the cooperative movement. I find it interesting that if you actually look at the NCB 100, kind of like the Fortune 500 of cooperatives, there's only one credit union in the top 10, and that's Navy Federal sitting at number 8. And it really gives you a better sense of just how widespread the cooperative movement is in a lot of different areas. You find grocers, you find electrical and energy cooperatives, you find agricultural firms. The ones that really kind of jump out at me that are, you know, to some extent household names, I would say, the ones I notice kind of toward the top of the list, Land O'Lakes, which again is a cooperative. You see a lot of dairies, different dairy producers that have bound together in terms of cooperatives. The Land O'Lakes organization is actually formed as a cooperative. It's the third biggest in the country. Ace Hardware, again, the individual, it's not really purely a franchise model. It's actually a cooperative model. They're number 7. Probably the single most visible cooperative for most people is REI. They're actually number 12. They're not even big enough to hit the top 10. And one of the things I notice in terms of the really big players there, and Navy Federal would hit this qualification as well, they're some of the only consumer-facing ones at the top end of the list. Although I guess you could also say these are brand names, although you don't find the consumers actually becoming members of the cooperative, but they're actually obviously acting with the brand. Ocean Spray, number 25. Blue Diamond, the Almond People, at number 31. And one of the ones that I find myself paying a lot of attention to lately, Organic Valley, the dairy product producer, again, for milk, cottage cheese, sour cream, etc. They're sitting at number 48. And as I say, what we're looking at here is a common purpose. Not that there's any, there's certainly no turf battles going on, but I think each of the individual sectors are so interested and involved in their own activities that we face a lot of very similar issues in terms of the competitive environment, the funding environment, the innovative innovation environment. And that was the conversation that was taking place. And I planned stay a lot closer to this stuff going forward. I will post a link to the NCB 100, so if you'd like to take a look for yourself and just get a sense of how this stuff is all kind of coming together, I found it to be pretty darn interesting. With that, let's jump in. As I mentioned, Jim Ryan is at the Circle Collective. The Circle Fund is where we typically kind of think about these folks in their strategic investment fund. But he's also gotten more heavily involved in trying to, as I said, expand the tent and get greater exposure to fintechs, even outside their investment portfolio, as we always talk about, the collaborative superpower of credit unions. And hopefully that's going to become a little bit clearer as we listen to this conversation. I'm here with Jim Ryan, the Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for the Circle Collective, who I've run into a few times on the circuit, as it were, in the credit union space, most recently at the NACUSO conference. And I think originally, Jim, if I'm not mistaken, we met at VentureTech down in Dallas last year. But you've got some interesting stuff from a couple of different dimensions going on at Circle, so I thought it was a great opportunity to catch up. Thanks for taking the time. Maybe just start off by telling people a little bit, for those who are not familiar with Circle, what you're all about.
Thank you so much, Glenn, for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited to be here and share our story and mission with your listeners. Circle Collective is a CUSO. Our mission is to bring fintech to credit unions. We're doing that by creating collaborative opportunities between fintech companies and the credit union industry. And have a very big tent mentality in partnership across the industry, and are looking for ways to help credit unions and fintechs collaborate and improve member experience.
And one of the ways you do that is through the Circle Fund, which was, you know, the first piece that I think that got more visibility from the Circle Collective, which is a venture fund, an investment strategic investment fund to bring that investment into the space. And I know you were very successful with that. The amount of money that you originally went out to raise wound up getting increased a few times because there was so much interest and appetite in the marketplace. Can you remind me what those numbers look like?
Absolutely. So the Circle Fund is the strategic investment fund that's governed by the Circle Collective. And the Circle Fund has been actively investing in fintechs that have become CUSOs. For the last 2 years, we've invested just over $100 million into 20 different CUSO fintech companies. And we have we raised $252 million through November of 2021.
And then you had to finally find a time to declare the fund closed. There were still more people who wanted to invest, as I recall. But what the original thought that was the fund was going to be was like 75 or 80 million. I mean, it just, you had to raise the number a couple of times, right?
The original thought was 50 million.
Wow.
Yes. And then it got, the goalposts moved to 150 million. There was overwhelming appetite. And so at $251.8 million, the door was closed. And there were some folks still trying to get in. But we did have to move forward with the next stage and investing that money and getting it deployed successfully and effectively.
And that money came from, I believe I've got, if I've got the numbers right, was it 64 credit unions and a couple of other organizations too?
Yeah, absolutely. 64 credit unions invested in our limited partners of Circle Collective and Circle Fund. And we also had four other entities invest, two multi-owned CUSOs, as well as Invisant, a service corps out of Illinois, and National Cooperative Bank. So those are our 68 limited partners.
And then when you really think about all the, you know, the credit unions that are underneath, particularly under Envisoft, you're really talking about what, 75 or so, 77, something like that, that actually have a stake. Yeah.
Unique to this fund, Envisant brought 13 other credit unions and two additional leagues with them in their investment. So we treat all of our limited partners, all of the members of the Circle Collective credit union community exactly the same. And in fact, we've actually opened it up further to include subscribing credit union members that want to enjoy all the value of being an investor, except, of course, ROI. And that's been going very successfully for us as well as we continue to grow.
That's the piece that kind of brings us to the table, because that's, I mean, it's back to that kind of collaborative superpower that we talk about within the credit union space that I thought was a really interesting piece of the model. But first off, so you got, that's the credit union side. And then on the other side, you've got CUSOs and or service providers. So far, you've made investments in 20 CUSOs, 20 financial fintech companies?
That's correct. We've invested in 20 companies so far. We've had one company exit. A company called Payrailz was acquired by Jack Henry last fall. And shortly after that, we actually invested in a different payment company that does P2P payments called Neural Payments, a really exciting company. And with having that swim lane open up within our tech stack, as we call it, we were able to invest in a different payment company, bringing strategic value to the credit union industry.
That's an interesting term, and I was not aware of this until we started talking a couple of days ago, the notion of the swim lane. So Payrailz, and again, this was not something that you precipitated. It was by the natural course of business, they were acquired. So then, you know, they obviously get cashed out of the portfolio, and that opened up. So what I'm hearing, I think, is you would not have invested in Neural Payments because you try to keep away from direct competitors within the portfolio. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty right. We have not, at up to this point, invested into two different fintech companies that solve the exact same problem for credit unions or solve it in the same way.
Got it. And I mean, and again, obviously, when you got 20 companies in the portfolio, they're all going to wind up on different trajectories and journeys and whatnot. But, you know, so it's not unusual that something like that would happen with one of 20 companies. But overall, the idea is not for these companies to be flipping, right? I mean, one of the things, I was at a totally different event beyond credit unions, more broadly in the cooperative space. And somebody made the comment that, you know, equity you gain from the cooperative movement is among the most patient equity and capital that you're likely to find. And this is a multi-year play in this investment, right?
It is, yeah. We're committed to these companies as they grow and develop. Some of them will become platform companies, and then their exit, if they have one, will be longer out, right? But for the most part, the natural life cycle of a fintech is to eventually be acquired into a larger platform. That's the course of their business. Yep. So we have the opportunity to shape and mold them for credit unions, and then hopefully continue to have relationships to do that into the future.
I think that you just touched on another really key point, that voice at the table, that the participation in actually designing where these products go forward. But you know, the investors are, they get ROI on this, obviously, but they shouldn't be expecting liquidity in the near term. It's, you know, that comes further down the road.
Right. Return on investment occurs when a fintech company exits, when they are acquired.
Got it. So you mentioned already, which I think is interesting. So, you know, so there you've got the, you know, the investors, you've got the fintech companies in your portfolio, but now you've expanded that universe on both sides, which I found a little bit surprising in a good way. First off, as you mentioned, beyond just the investors, you're now taking in subscribers among credit unions to participate in this exchange. Actually, let's step back from there just for a second. One of the things you've done now is you've created a portal to allow the investors and the companies to interact and really make life easier for them. Can you say a bit about the purpose and why that portal was originally created?
Yes, the portal was created to solve three problems and challenges. The first one is the credit union limited partners need access to due diligence documents for their investments for their state and federal exams. And so one of the three things we stood the portal up for was to provide the document at the click of a button so that our credit unions can download all those documents and have them ready for their examiners. Next, we really needed a place for fintech companies in our portfolio to display what they do. to share their case studies, their marketing collateral with credit unions, so that that was all available for the limited partner credit unions to go peruse and find out more about them. We also build in fintech presentations. So we have two calls every month where we present new fintech solutions to our credit unions. And all those calls, webinars are built into the portal to be reviewed and to be watched. The third major way we wanted to build the portal was around credit union collaboration, to be able to message other credit unions, to know what other credit unions are part of Circle in an easy database, and to be able to create collaborative opportunities between organizations.
And I'm thinking also, I'm thinking back to that, was it Remington? I forget which the shaver company was, where the owner used to do the commercial saying, "I'm not just an investor and owner, I'm a customer," and he's holding the copy of the shaver. You know, there's no requirement that says that your investors have to be using these products, but clearly you're looking to kind of foster an opportunity. If you're saying these are good products, you know, presumably a lot of your investors are probably going to look to implement some of these technologies, right?
That's correct. So our investors each have their own unique perspective on their relationship with portfolio companies. They all have ownership stakes in them. So that's important, and that's part of the mix. But they're running organizations with organic needs and challenges that come up. And so they have to choose the best solutions for them. What we do is we do a lot of filtration, because we have over 1,200 fintech in our CRM that we're watching to one degree or another. And out of all of those companies, we have invested into 20 and then brought 11 more on as ecosystem partner fintech subscribers to the collective. So, I mean, to have 31 companies that have been curated for the credit union industry, it's a great place to start in that fintech journey and to collaborate with companies that have been highly vetted by our industry.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, and clearly, like you say, one size does not fit all. So, you know, just because you think that a solution is the right solution for the market as a whole, there could be specific conditions. It doesn't follow that, you know, there's a problem if not, you know, every one of your investors are using these products. You just mentioned some, that's the other piece of the equation. You mentioned 31, you've made 20 investments, but you're also opening up this portal to companies beyond the portfolio companies that Circle's invested in. Right. That's the piece that surprised me. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, we're very selective about it, but our mission is to bring fintech to credit unions. We have two calls every month where we're presenting new solutions, and our credit unions don't want to see the same companies, right? They want to see new companies. They want to see what else is relevant to them through our work. And so the ecosystem partnership opportunity is a great way to bring more companies into the collective. We have goals around partnerships. We have goals around impressions that we'll gain for every company in the collective. And by bringing in more fintech solutions that don't compete with our current portfolio, that offer unique value, strategic value to credit unions, some of those fintech might be companies that came from other verticals that have very high valuations and not a really a good fit for the fund, but a great fit for the collective. Or they may be really early, and they have some great credit union wins. They're not ready for their Series A quite yet. They want to continue to grow their ARR. And in those cases, it's another great way to join with us, to have the opportunity for a force multiplier to come in. And all we ask is that they subscribe, and we have a subscription program, but also that they offer all our credit unions leverage terms if they move forward with the partnership.
Leverage terms being a fancy way of saying a bit of a discount?
It could be, or it could be leverage terms. We use that intentionally because sometimes it might be a free look at something that usually costs money, and it's not a straight discount on pricing. However, oftentimes it's a discount in implementation or an ongoing discount on a month-to-month.
Got it. And I'm also thinking, I think we talked about this as well, you know, Circle is investing only in CUSOs because that's the way the business is set up. That's kind of a requirement. Some of these companies that are subscribing may not be CUSOs yet, may not for whatever reason. They may not have gotten far enough along. They might not have been in a position where they realize the value. So at some point down the road, they may become CUSOs, but that's not a requirement to be a subscriber.
Many of them are CUSOs. A few of them are not yet. But they would have interest in it as they continue to grow And if they were to receive credit union money, then they would certainly have to become CUSO. So that is oftentimes that inflection point. Hey, I'm ready to take credit union money. I need to talk to Messick, Lauer & Smith and get my CUSO formed.
Good. Our good friend, Brian Lauer. That's the CUSO guru. Oh, actually, his senior partner, I guess now partner emeritus, Guy Messick, was the CUSO guru, right? So that's another piece of it. And then you mentioned before about the competitive nature of, the fact that you're not putting direct competitors at this stage in the portfolio. Those subscriber companies, I'm assuming, also are not direct competitors of the portfolio companies.
That would be the first requirement, is that if we were going to entertain the opportunity to bring on a subscriber, they couldn't be in conflict and direct competition with our portfolio companies or other subscribers.
So this is, it makes a ton of sense because it's actually, I'm hearing this also as a sourcing mechanism on both sides of the network for Circle, because you've got 20 portfolio companies today, you've got 11 companies that are subscribing, and I don't think we're giving anything away here that you're already starting to think about a second Circle fund. So this first fund, well, actually you are still investing in additional companies, even in fund one. But you're also looking at fund two. So at some point in the future, these may become portfolio companies too.
Right. We just reached $100 million in investment last week. And with that, we're pretty far along in our strategy and ahead of our original plan in investing. And we've made no bones about it, Glenn. We are warming up fund number two. Our credit union subscription is a phenomenal way for a credit union to come in, be in the room, have a seat at the table as we're working through our advisory calls and other fintech calls to gain their perspective, to hear from other credit unions on these potential fintech companies as partners. And so the opportunity to grow the number of fintech that are part of that purview of our collective is important, because there are some companies that are offering solutions to problems that we haven't invested in, but our credit unions need those solutions.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking, for those who aren't as close to the VC world, you mentioned that you've invested $100 million, but you raised $250. Just to be clear, the goal is not to invest all $250 like up front. You've got to keep what we would call quote unquote dry powder for additional investment in the companies that are really showing growth projections and really good trajectory. I guess you keep some money aside for that too, right?
Oh, yes, we certainly do. Strategic investment is a long-term strategy. And we need to be there for our partners for reinvestment and opportunities for them to grow and develop as organizations so they can serve their credit union customer base better.
So that's the piece on the service provider side. And as I say, you're potentially looking at your next generation of portfolio companies. On the credit union side, you've got, I think, was it about 20 or so subscribers that are not yet investors? And I say not yet investors because they may be the investors in fund two as well, once they kind of get a better feel for what you're all about.
That's right. And that's certainly not a requirement that a subscriber intends to invest by any means. What we ask our subscribers to do is to come be a part of this exclusive opportunity, to add value, to add their perspective, to look for partnerships, to collaborate with other credit unions. And many of our subscribers are interested in investment when that opportunity does arise in the future. But they're finding that there's a lot of value in being a subscriber and part of the collective, even without that piece.
Well, this goes back again to the collaborative nature. I think you mentioned that pretty much, there's probably a few documents on the due diligence side that are going to be eyes only for the investors. But other than that, anybody who subscribes gets full access other than the ROI upside, right?
That's correct. We actually have a strategic council meeting in August in Chicago on August 2nd. We had an event in March called Curated that we put on with our partners from the industry. And those opportunities are not just for Circle investors. Those are for Circle investors and subscribers to be on the inside and what's next for our organization.
Now, speaking of those kind of opportunities and events, I think I mentioned earlier on VentureTech, which I think is where we first met last year, if I'm not mistaken. I know that's coming up again in early part of November, down a little bit outside Dallas, Texas. Again, you don't need to be a CUSO to be on stage, but once people actually kind of understand the opportunity in the credit union space, that often is one of the first steps to get there. And I know that is not a Circle specific event. You do that in collaboration, I believe, with CMFG from CUNA Mutual. Can you say a bit about that that conference?
Yeah, absolutely. So VentureTech is owned by Circle and CUNA Strategic Services. And so it's a neutral event where we put on a fintech showcase. This will be our sixth VentureTech, and it is the premier fintech showcase for our industry. Last year, we had 26 fintech companies on stage presenting their solutions to a large audience of credit union executives. We had an amazing exhibit hall where we had over 50 fintech there. And that's what's unique about VentureTech. There's a lot of great events in the credit union space, as we well know, where you can see the big companies, the tried and true successful companies. But VentureTech is a place to see the new companies, the hip new opportunities to engage with fintech founders and bring what they're doing into our space to enhance our member experiences.
Yeah, and I can tell you that, and I know it's been growing by leaps and bounds. I think 2 years ago, when we were just coming out of the pandemic, it was something of a joint event along with NACUSA, if I'm not mistaken, in Las Vegas, but you branched off on your own again, as you had in the past, down in Frisco, Texas, outside Dallas, and I think set attendance records from what I recall, and I would be surprised if you didn't do the same again this year, based on the way everything's going. And that's, was it 6th, 7th, and 8th in November?
Yes. So VentureTech is November 6th, 7th, and 8th in Frisco, Texas. It's at the Omni Frisco Hotel, which is by the Dallas Star facility. It's an incredible place to have an event. And it creates a very intimate atmosphere where, you know, through the evening after dinner, people are able to engage one-to-one and in groups and get to know each other and talk shop and just be people. It's really a unique experience as far as I'm concerned and what I've seen in my travels in the credit union space.
Yeah, over the course of the last couple of years, it's kind of established itself. It's carved out space as one of the go-to events that I definitely put on my calendar right at the beginning. And as I recall, the windows of where the event takes place overlook the Dallas Cowboys practice facility too, which is pretty cool. The platform that you've got out there for Circle Collective, it's only been up for less than a year, right? And then, like you say, it's the intent of it originally, it's already expanded in terms of its goals, but you're still adding more. You're adding chat capabilities and obviously looking to even expand the network further in terms of people who are actually taking advantage of it.
It comes back to listening to what our credit unions and fintech want. Excuse me. At VentureTech last year, a CIO of a large credit union that's part of the collective came to me and said, hey, we just finished up our vendor due diligence with Defense Storm, which is one of our portfolio companies for cybersecurity. And he said, wouldn't it be great if I could share this vendor due diligence with other credit unions through Circle? And we said, it certainly would be great. Another credit union said, you know, I take notes on every one of these calls. I'd be willing to share those notes with other credit unions, but I'd like to see their notes as well. And that's one of our first subscriber suggested that. And so we're building out a sharing hub within the portal for credit unions to communicate with one another. And it'll be what our credit unions make it to be. We're making it very free form where they can create a new topic and bring people into it and have a conversation. And we're also very, very excited. The Circle Collective has a very high trust amongst our credit unions and fintech. And we're building out a new section of the portal for everyone to view that'll help create new partnerships, create efficiencies and references among credit unions through a tech stack sharing hub and a top five roadmap, technology roadmap ideas, so that credit unions can know where each other are headed and look for ways to partner and have that access to each other. And fintech can do their homework and say, okay, here's how I fit into these plans and be able to show the value of taking the time to understand a company before, you know, shooting off an email.
And I recall from what I saw, even when we talk about the use of this, there's a way that's tagged within each of the participants. You can see how many of your investing companies are using the various solutions in the portfolio. So that's another way to reach out and understand, you know, what the experience has been. For, again, it's an amazing level of collaboration and trust that comes into the mix there. But I think it's, again, one of the powers that work out. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, inside the fintech profile. So every credit union and every fintech has a profile within the portal, and there's an unlimited number of contacts that any company could bring. So we don't limit the seats in the portal for the companies that are subscribed or partnered with us. And we do denote how many credit unions in the collective are partnering with each fintech. And in this sharing hub, where credit unions will share who they're partnered with, they'll be able to have insight into who those credit unions are by credit unions volunteering that information for one another.
And then they can reach out directly. So I know that you don't, the portal itself is a subscription model for obvious reasons. So you don't really get a chance to look at it directly. But if you go, if you want to find out more about the portfolio companies and whatnot, circle.com is the best place to go. And for people who are not looking at the name, it's C-U-R-Q-L, circle.com, for obvious reasons. I don't think the word circle was available as a URL. But if they want to find out more about the portal itself, reach out to you directly, Jim.
That's right, Glenn. If anyone would like to know more about Circle Collective, our subscription opportunity for credit unions and CUSOs, or our subscription opportunity for fintech companies, they can reach out to me at jim@circle.com. You can go out to our website, circle.com, and see the limited partner credit unions that are part of the collective. You can see all the fintech companies that are part of the collective and get more information about what we do and how we partner with the industry.
And for people who want to find out more about the Venture Tech event coming up in November, it's myventuretech.com, correct?
Certainly, myventuretech.com. We'd love to have you. You won't regret coming to the event.
Jim Ryan, Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for Circle Collective. Good stuff. I can't wait. If I don't see you someplace on the circuit before, then I'm certainly going to see you down in Dallas in November. But thanks for taking the time to get us caught up.
It's always a pleasure to visit with you, Glenn. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
So a little fun aside that I picked up there, you may have noticed that Jim actually, the way he uses the terminology, that he, I guess he believes the plural of fintech is fintech. He's got 20 fintech in the portfolio, et cetera. It's funny because I don't hear that often, but it reminded me of something I've been saying. I saw somebody wearing a t-shirt recently with the kind of the resurgence of vinyl albums for music. As you probably saw, vinyl, I think we talked about this, vinyl actually outsold CDs over the course of fiscal 22. And I just learned this recently, that people actually refer to, if they go out and buy multiple, younger people, I should say, younger than me anyway, and go out to buy multiple vinyl records, they refer to buying vinyls. I would never have put an S at the end of vinyl, but I do put an S on fintech, so I guess I'm being kind of inconsistent myself. If anybody has any intense thoughts about that, share it with us. Is it fintech or fintechs when you're talking about more than one of them? I'd be curious what you all think. Also wanted to kind of add to the mix that a couple of the recent winners of Venture Tech have been in the news even more fully. Goal Setter, which was the winner of the last Venture Tech in 2022, their founder, Tanya Van Kort, was recently honored by American Banker as one of the top 20 women in fintech. And I think it's also worth mentioning that they won the Venture Tech competition, as that was mentioned, co-sponsored, the lead sponsors being CMFG Ventures and Circle Collective. And Goal Setter is not a member of the portfolios of either of those companies. I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, and we've spoken to Tanya before, I should check this out, I don't believe they're even organized as a CUSO at present. Which to me actually, again, speaks to the big tent approach. Even though those two organizations are sponsoring the event, they're not pushing their folks to the front of the list. And necessarily, and obviously one of the things that is the benefit is the people who do the best are probably going to be courted. Tanya Van Kort may be courted for further funding going forward. Eltropy, Ashish Garg, who's pretty well known in the industry. He was the founder of Eltropy. He was the winner of the very first Venture Tech. He was also honored by American Banker just in this last cycle as one of the top 20 innovators in fintech. So I find that one interesting. And when we talk about collaboration and a big tent, I hopefully that Circle won't mind me mentioning this. Also kind of going on in the space, there's another recent portal that just launched that's gotten a fair bit of press. It's called True Digital. They just launched their platform that seems to kind of position itself in a similar way with, in terms of what Circle is doing. Big difference, however, that I see is they are partnered with the Midsize Bank Coalition of America, which is a group that works with banks from, I believe they identify that as $10 billion to $25 billion, or maybe even $200 billion. I forget what the number was. But they are open to banks and credit unions, but something tells me, just based on the way that the credit union field works, you're probably going to see a much kind of more open aspect of exchange and more credit union-centric kind of conversation at the Circle operation. But we'll look into that a little bit further, but I thought it was at least appropriate to make people aware that there's another thing, another player in town at least looking into the mix. With that, another episode of the Big Cast in the books. My name is Glenn Sarvati. You can track me down via my firm, 154 Advisors. You can find me on LinkedIn or on Twitter at 154 Advisors. You'll find the Best Innovation Group on Twitter at Big Fintech, or you'll find our grand poobah, John Best, at JB Fintech. There's also a Best Innovation Group on LinkedIn that we would encourage you to join or to subscribe to the BigCast. If you're interested in this content and you are so inclined, that would be just peachy with us. And we will not be doing a new episode. We're going to take a break for the Memorial Day holiday next week. So have a good long weekend, everybody. We'll go 1 week without new content, but hopefully you'll take the opportunity to dig into some of our past episodes, including some of those conversations I mentioned, the one about ChatGPT lying to my friend Michael Lev around the supply chain world. And actually tying it into Gordon Lightfoot. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, it's worth checking out in my view. And we've done interviews with several of the folks that I've mentioned around venture tech, like Tanya Van Kort. So if you want to dig back into the archives, they're all there right at the BigCast site, Best Innovation Group's website, big-fintech.com. Just drill down into the media tab for the BigCast, or you can just scroll backwards in Spotify, which I do occasionally as well. And we will be back in the beginning of June with more new content here on the BigCast. As always, my name is Glenn Sarvati, and thanks so much for listening.
Check back each week for the latest from the BigCast. Or better yet, we hope you'll consider subscribing for free via Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at Big Fintech, email info@big-fintech.com, or visit us at big-fintech.com and click on the Media tab, where you can post a comment or check out our archive of hundreds of past episodes. See you next week.